The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to a Friday edition of the show, live in studio version, all together now. Woo-hoo! That's right. Boy, that was refreshing. That was a refreshing woohoo.
It was.
Yeah, we are back in the studio, and today Dave and I have recombobulated ourselves. I think
that's
fair.
I feel comfortable.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah. We got a little panic yesterday, but it's all good now.
Yep.
All good now, and very, very happy to be back in the studio. I'm looking forward to it. I'm especially looking forward to it on Monday. I talked to Big Al today. He's going to be popping in with us for the segment of the show. He's going to do Of the Day. We're going to talk about what's coming up on there. New afternoon
Very
zoo.
Cool.
I'm just super, super happy about a lot of things right now. It's a good time to be alive right now is really what it is. And I have a bunch of stuff on the blog today and Mike Rosen coming in at 2 o'clock. So let me tell you what's on the blog and where to find it. Go to KOAColorado.com. Click on anything that says Mandy Connell full schedule or look for the headline that says Mandy's Friday blog. How are people living? And Mike Rosen at the movies. Click on that, and here are the headlines you will find within.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North and South American. All the ships and clippers at sea. Let's go to press flash.
Today on the blog, Mike Rosen at the movies at 2. How are people living? Danielle Jurinski is running for Aurora City Council. Today is Constitution Day. This, as Americans aren't as dumb about it, that's a grammatically disastrous sentence. I'll fix that later. Tay Anderson is the worst kind of predator. Someone asked me why I'm not covering the story of the missing Florida woman. The Aurora Police Union chief is doing what the chief of police should have done. Dick Wadhams is right in this column to the GOP. The media continues to cover the Biden admin's garbage economic policies. For no apparent reason, the FAA has locked down the sky over the migrant surge in Texas. Did you even know turtles could do this? The new iPhone will require proof of vaccination to open. Great column by Mike Rosen where he does his best, Charles Harrington Elster. How about a train trip to do some leaf peeping this fall? Rabbit ears are making a comeback in the age of streaming. Rules for thee, but not for me. Mosquitoes get sucked in by this machine because it breathes like us. We have to get this human composter on the show. And the cucumber guy fixed up by the Kiffness. Those are the headlines on the blog at KOANewsRadio.com on the Mandy Connell page. And, Coop, can you give me my audio for this computer? Can you just pop that up real quick? Because you guys have to hear. If you've never heard the cucumber guy, so there's this guy, I think he's in Jamaica, and he sings about vegetables. He's a vegetarian. But the man makes you want to eat vegetables. So now the Kiffness, you guys know I love the Kiffness. I'm obsessed with the guy who makes music out of other people's stuff. He's now taken the cucumber guy, and he's made beautiful music.
Welcome to Maccabee's Medical Monday. Today it's all about this, the cucumber. Or as they call it in Jamaica, cucumber.
Tell me, like, if you were a little kid, this would totally make you eat cucumber.
Vitamins, minerals, very high number, silica, hair and nails get longer. Other vitamins make your bones them stronger. Anti-wrinkle make you look younger. Cucumber. Cucumber. Cucumber.
This is essentially what I listen to every weekend now. I just put on the Kiffness YouTube channel, and I just listen to this over and over. I'm driving my family crazy. I have a 12-year-old daughter who's like, seriously, Mom, do I have to hear that song again? And anyone else who has a 12-year-old daughter who loves music knows that you hear the same songs over and over and over and over and over again. And even she is like, seriously, Mom, I've had enough. I've had enough from you. Lady. Anyway, that's on the blog today, and it's fantastic. Back at the top of the blog today, Mike Rosen in at 2 to talk about movies. Dave and I saw Shang-Chi, The Legend of the Ten Rings, the new Marvel movie, and Mike is going to be talking about Stillwater today, which is a movie I want to see very much with Matt Damon. Danielle Jurinski is running for Aurora City Council. And I got to tell you, if there was ever a city council that needed some kind of injection of sense, it's the Aurora City Council. We're going to talk to her at 1 o'clock to find out why she wants to be on the city council and what she plans to do if she gets there. So those are our two guests today. In the meantime, though, happy Constitution Day, Dave.
Happy Constitution Day to you, too.
I feel like we should exercise our right to free speech. Maybe we should assemble somewhere, you know. exercise some of these rights that we just kind of have let fall by the wayside.
We the people should.
Yeah, I'm packing right now to honor the Second Amendment. No, I'm not really. I'm not really, as far as you know.
By the way, I got to tell you.
What?
Had to see the movie for today's movie review.
Yeah.
Went to the theater for the first time in 18 months.
It's glorious, isn't it?
I'll tell you what happened. I went in there. There's no one in there at all. I see a sign that says, go right in and pay for your ticket at the concession stand.
Sure.
That was something new I hadn't seen before. Went to the concession stand. Said, I'd like to get a ticket for the show. And she showed, it's all reserved seating. So she showed me a chart. And she said, you can pick wherever you want. I said, you're only one in the theater today. I said, you're kidding.
So Dave had a private screening.
I had a private screening of this movie. And then, as the, you know, coming attractions, you know, I'm finding whatever seat I want. I could sit anywhere, handicapped, anything. No one's in the theater. And then finally, the coming attractions start, and I hear a sound behind me. Someone's eating popcorn.
What?
There was a person behind me.
Shut up. Did you feel violated?
I had to share the theater. What is that about?
Did you shush him? Stop eating your popcorn so loud.
By the way, I did not get popcorn because I figure it's been there for 2 weeks because no one's bought it.
No, there. I asked the lady because we've been going to first show matinees on the weekends, like at 11 or 12 or whatever, you know, whenever the first show is. And I hate old popcorn.
Right.
So I go in and the little girl behind the counter, they're all so sweet, little high school kids, you know. And I said, let's talk about that popcorn over there. She goes, we just popped it this morning. We do not keep the old popcorn. Everyone keeps asking me that.
Oh, okay.
And that was an AMC theater. So at least at her theater, she said, no, people hate old popcorn. We don't save the old popcorn.
That's good to know.
Yeah, there you go. So at least that, you can ask them and they should tell you. So you got that going for you. So we're going to do those movies at 2 o'clock. Today is Constitution Day, and just in time, Americans are slightly less stupid about the Constitution than we have been previously. This is always upsetting to me.
Yes.
But ultimately, it is our fault because we've allowed our educational system to get to a point where, Dave, I have probably 15 people that I know personally that have gone to law school in the past 25 years, right? They're lawyers. And they all had to take constitutional law. So I heard this from someone else, and I thought, it can't be like that at every law school. So I called my friends who are attorneys. Some of them graduated as recently as 10 years ago. So my friends that have been attorneys long enough went to law school 25 years ago, okay? Out of the 10 people that I surveyed, like 7 of them had a constitutional law class where they never read the Constitution.
What?
Yeah. They never read the Constitution. It was case heavy work where they talked about specific cases about some of the amendments, but they never read the actual document. There was no like quiz on what the document said or the history of the Constitution or the Federalist Papers. So they're doing case specific work, but without ever reading the foundational document. And the 3 people that did read the Constitution, only one of them had a conversation in class that she could remember about the Federalist Papers, how the Constitution came to be, the wrangling about the Constitution, any of the background. So that's in law school. So imagine what we're doing to kids in high school and grammar school and, you know,
Well, what we're
college.
Doing is forcing CRT on them at the exclusion of civics.
I got to tell you, I'm super fired up as a parent and a talk show host about what's happening right now in the school systems, because I think a lot of parents finally in the last year have finally gone, what the hell are they teaching you?
Yes.
What are you doing? What are you learning? And let's be real, guys. If our children were proficient and on grade level across the board in our school systems across the metro area, none of this would be an issue. But we have a situation in Denver where the numbers of children who are reading and doing math on a proficient level for their grade level is shameful. It's shameful. 44%, 48%. That's where they're hovering right now. And they're telling me that it's more important to tell a little brown boy and a little white boy that only their skin color matters. That's garbage. It's absolute garbage. And I'm so angry about it because we are going to have another generation of children that only know about the founding fathers that they owned slaves and nothing else.
Well, parents, you know, when you were a kid, when I was a kid, parents, basically what they did was they said, did you do your homework? And that was it. Now you have to know what the kids are learning, specifically what they're being taught. And you may not like it. My parents, they just had faith that teachers were going to teach us the right stuff, and they were right in their assumption. No longer. Parents today have to really do some work.
You know what's interesting, Dave, is I remember my mom was a teacher back in the 1970s, and she taught in private school. And that was during the time when I was very young. And I don't remember this from the time where I was very young, but I've had conversations with my mom about it since, because I asked her why she left teaching. And she said, I left teaching because there started to be too much external interference back in the 1970s about curriculum items that were being passed by legislatures and things like that, which were all well-intentioned. They were all well-intentioned, but they had the distorting effect of forcing teachers to focus on one thing or another instead of just teaching the basics and the classics and things that we learned forever that really kept us at the top of the educational heap for many, many decades. And what's happening now in the United States of America is that we are eroding the actual underpinnings of education in order to shove in all of this other social justice and gender justice and all of this other justice crap. And our children are falling behind the world because the world has improved its educational system. The world understands that knowledge is power. And so their children are excelling at a high level in countries that previously in the 1970s, we didn't have to worry about. They're now eating our lunch. And we are now in a world economy. I tried to explain the other day to my daughter the saying, the world is getting smaller. And she was like, what? No, it's not getting smaller. I'm like, no. That's not an actual thing. But, you know, when I was a child, only rich people flew on airplanes. Like you, as a middle-class family, you didn't buy airline tickets to fly across the country. You got in the station wagon and you drove your ass across the country, you know? But now airline travel has become so accessible. And when you add in the internet, you don't have to, I could work for a company in Australia and it wouldn't matter other than the, you know, time differences that I had to work out. So we are making our students and our children less competitive at a time when the rest of the world is making their students more competitive. And we are absolutely, we're doing terrible things to the kids and their psyche and everything else. And it's just, it's awful. It's really awful.
And if we're
awful.
Going to continue to compete in the world in things like space.
Yeah.
I mean, in the 50s and 60s, we were at the top of, you know, NASA.
Yeah.
We were fighting the Russians. I'd hate to see if we were in a race right now to get to the moon or to Mars. We're just not getting the young scientists that we need and the numbers that we need them.
Well, they're working on other stuff. That's the thing. They're working on high-level computer programming, security, things of that nature. Things like the space program have fallen out of favor with a lot of young people. I mean, when I was a kid, everybody wanted to be an astronaut.
Exactly.
Like,
women,
everybody.
Girls, boys, everybody.
Oh, we all wanted to be an astronaut.
Yeah.
Okay. And now you get, you know, kids, I want to be a YouTube star. I want to be a professional athlete. And, you know, those are well and good, but we all look at those kids and kind of pat them on the head and say, good luck with that. You know, just good luck with that. So listen to this. We're smarter about the Constitution than we were fairly recently. In 2006, just 33% of respondents could accurately name the three branches of government. Now we are up to 56%.
Only half of us are ignorant.
Slightly less than half are ignorant.
Yeah.
More than half of us. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 3/4 of the poll correctly stated that the First Amendment protects freedom of speech. However, 56% knew it was freedom of religion. Also, freedom of the press was 50%, the right to assembly, 30%, and the right to petition, 20%.
You know, our Constitution, unlike the state Constitution, is pretty short.
Oh, very brief.
And which is one of its best features. And, you know, today is Constitution Day. Everyone should go home. Take out your little Constitution,
whip it out.
Read it from cover to cover, and do that on a yearly basis.
And if you
it's
don't,
good for
yeah,
you.
If you don't have a copy of the Constitution, reach out to heritage.org. They give them out free booklets.
My dad gave all of us one,
Susan,
years ago.
My daughter has one in her book bag all the time.
Well, he didn't give it to us when we were 12.
No, well, she's had it since she was like 7.
Okay.
I mean, we start early in our household,
yes.
Susan. I can't help it if your dad's a slacker. Okay.
Wait until later.
May he rest in peace. May you be comforted by his memory. Okay,
exactly,
fine. So what's coming up in the news?
Hey, you know what? You were saying how great things are turning out. We have big things that are planned for Monday. Well, and Big Al is coming in your show today.
Yep.
You know, it's 5782.
50,
you know, it's the Jewish New Year.
I was like, you know, wait, what? No, it's 5280. Really, I was like, it's 5280, Susan.
No, 5782.
What do you got coming up in the news there, sister?
Federal government is rationing monoclonal antibody treatment. And the newest and coolest Meow Wolf is now open in Denver. We're going to take you there at 1230 on KOA News Radio, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
We are back and working our way through the blog. I tried to fix the grammatical errors. Okay, I just realized too that the turtle video that I have on the blog is not showing properly. So I just added a link, but I'm telling you, this turtle video will make you think your entire life is a lie. Okay, Dave?
How so?
Well, I mean, turtles are slow, right?
Yes.
They're just, you know, they're responsible. They make good choices according to the turtle and the hare, the tortoise and the hare. But when you see this, and I'm added the link to the blog, so give it a second to repopulate. Just give it a second to get caught up. But you just have to see what these turtles are doing. I had no idea. I looked for clues. No, I'm not going to say anything more. You'll just have to wait a second and check it out. Somebody hit us up on the Centauri Health text line and said, you might have already answered this, but I just tuned in. Where do you fit in KOA's new lineup? I fit directly where I am right now. Nothing changes about my show. So, I will be here every day from noon to three, looking forward to it. And this text is kind of interesting. Could the diversity that once made this country great ultimately destroy us because of infighting? Only if we let it. And what's happening now, as a matter of fact, Dave and I were just talking about this off the air. Gavin Newsom just won his recall, and 80%?
Over 80%.
Yeah. Oh, in San Francisco, yes. Where he used to be mayor, so he was a very popular mayor in San Francisco. So in San Francisco, he got over 80% of the people voted to retain Gavin Newsom. And if you look at California right now, they're having an exodus of high earners. They have a homeless population that is larger than most cities in this country. They have the highest tax burden in the country. They have a drought. They have wildfires. They have, what else do they have? I can't even think of all the problems they have. And yet people voted to retain the guy who follows the ideology that got them there in the first place, proving that in this country right this second, tribalism matters more than results. Because if there were a Republican in office doing those same things, I would vote him out or her out. I'm a results-oriented person. If you can't get it done, you can go.
I mean, you don't have to think very hard. All you have to do is look outside, you know, where you live and see people defecating on the streets. Yeah. And you get the idea that something's wrong in San Francisco if this is a common event.
It's been like that for 30 years in San Francisco. It's just worse now than it's been in a long time. But Los Angeles is even worse. I mean, the last time I saw it, Los Angeles has like 300,000 homeless people. Some crazy, that might be high. I'll look that up on the next break. See, you know, I'll see if I can find that. But I mean, they have so many homeless people, and yet Gavin Newsom wins in a landslide. And I wasn't going to talk about that today, but I do want to bring this up for just a second. The Republican Party, and we have a column on the blog today by Dick Wadhams. The Republican Party is actually considering removing themselves from the primary process that was just voted into effect by Colorado voters, essentially telling unaffiliated voters that they do not want them to participate in their primary and or their process. And here's the thing. I understand that Republicans should be able to pick their own candidate. Democrats should be able to pick their own candidate. And in a perfect world, that would be great, right? But we don't live in that world in Colorado anymore. We have an open primary system. And if the Republicans decide to take their ball and go home and go back to the caucus process where the diehard party picks the nominee, they will never win the governor's mansion again, in my opinion, because Colorado is not the state it once was. Colorado is not a place where you can run a hard right candidate in a statewide race and win. You cannot do that. And you need to look at California, because a lot of people are now saying that Larry Elder coming out a week before the election warning people of voter fraud actually suppressed GOP turnout. And Larry Elder, though, I love Larry Elder, you guys. I love him. I think he's a very smart man. I love his writing. I love the films he's done. I love the guy, but he cannot get elected in California because he's too far right. That's just the reality of the electorate. And I'm not talking about we need to find some, like, you know, rhino to run. I want somebody with principles, but I want somebody with principles that can explain those principles to people that may be moderate or not political or whatever. And if you tell people that are unaffiliated, we don't want your vote in this primary, guess who they're going to pay attention to? All of the Democratic candidates now have their attention throughout the primary process. That is a strategic advantage. And you are giving it to them. You're just laying it in their lap. Now, if you want to go back and try and close the primaries again through the legislative process, fantastic. Excellent. Do it. But taking that away right now in this state at this moment is the literal dumbest thing the Republican Party could do. So I'm fully expecting them to do it. I really am. I'm fully expecting them to get together and make that change.
You know, it used to be where the Democratic Party would defeat themselves because of all the infighting, intra-fighting in the Democratic Party. And now it's the Republicans are doing it.
I don't mind inter-party fighting. I really don't, because I think that in order to have a healthy and vibrant party that represents as many people on that side of the aisle as want to be represented, you have to have some tension on some issues. But when it comes to getting people elected, we all have to be on the same page. You don't get to have fracturing and over how we get people elected. And by the way, if the Colorado GOP had been so good at their job, we'd have more than one statewide Republican in office right now, right? We'd have more than one elected official that was a Republican, and we don't. We have Heidi Ginnall on the CU Board of Regents. That's it. That's it. So if anyone in the GOP leadership is thinking about this, talking about this, just stop. Just stop it. You're going to make it so much worse. And I mean so much worse. And Dick wrote a really nice column about it, and he was much more diplomatic than I just was, but I can't agree with him enough. And if we're ever to have any semblance of balance in Colorado again, the Republican Party has to get real about who they put up for statewide office.
If it's ever going to happen, we have to put borders up and not allow Californians in Colorado. That's what we have to do, because that's what's changing us from purple.
Oh, you know, I don't know if it's just that though, Dave.
Just that, but it certainly doesn't help.
Yeah, it's more that we have had a massive infusion of youth. I think that we've had a big push from millennials, Gen Yers. And frankly, that's the kind of stuff that makes an economy and a city and a metro area vibrant. You want young people to come to your state because they're going to be the building blocks of the next thing, but they also bring their stupid, dumbass college-learned politics with them. I think that's had a much bigger impact
than the Californians. So it's not so much geography as it is education.
Yeah. Yeah, but those two things can often go hand in hand.
Yep.
So there you go. The FAA, I have this story, and someone hit a text and said the FAA has unlocked the skies.
Oh,
over,
good.
But I can't find it. I can't find the story about them unlocking it. So the FAA over the...
What an insidious story.
Oh, God. You guys, if Donald Trump was president, and I told you that 1.4 million people had invaded this country in the last year, what do you think the biggest story on the news would be? It would be that Donald Trump isn't securing the southern border. That's exactly what happened under Joe Biden. 1.4 million people have walked over the southern border in the last year.
And some of the media wants to cover it by having drones go over these areas to see how many actual people are there and to show it to their constituents. And the FAA said,
We have to block this 2-mile area of airspace because danger,
security,
danger,
some unmentioned security problem will occur. And when asked for specifics, they had no comment.
Correct. And so somebody texted and said they lifted that ban, but I have not been able to find a news story.
And this is like an ABC drone.
Oh, yeah.
This is not some wacko who wants to put a drone over.
It's a local Fox station. And it's not, you guys, a Fox station is not affiliated with Fox News. A lot of people think that if you're like Fox 31 here, they're not affiliated with Fox News. They're an independent television station. They just happen to be on the Fox network. The Fox station in Texas has been doing these drone flights for months. It just, for whatever reason, in the last couple of days, their video caught fire on the internet as people went, holy crap, what are all those people doing under that bridge?
Do you think that was just an independent FAA security decision?
No, I think it came from the White House.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do I.
100%.
I think Joe Biden said, FAA, stop these drones. The media is covering it and it makes us look bad.
You're much more hopeful than I am because I actually think Joe Biden has no clue what's going on ever at all. And I think his handlers called the FAA and said, fix this. These optics are not good.
Good point.
Yeah. I honestly don't believe Joe Biden's running this country at all. Otherwise, we would not have his handlers telling him to stop talking and walk off as he keeps telling us.
They don't tell him. They cut his mic off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They just shut it off.
Yeah, so there you go.
That is outrageous. If I was president, I'd say, okay, who shut the mic off? You're fired, you're fired, and you're fired.
Correct. Let me grab George in Wyoming. He wants to weigh in on that GOP story. Hey, George, what's on your mind?
Hey, Mandy. So I just want to point out how bad the Stockholm syndrome is for the left right now. Remember the Common Sense Institute article a couple of months ago about how much taxes and fees have been increased since 2018?
Yeah.
So I was having a discussion recently online with a few people about this, and I linked that article. And according to the left, they are so brainwashed that they say that that is an absolute lie and it's physically impossible.
What? What?
Yes.
Send me that story, George. Do you still have it? Can you email it to me, Mandy, at KOANewsRadio.com?
Well, no. I mean, I linked that article, but this was a discussion I was having with people. And when I posted that article, these people told me that I was lying and the article was lying.
Oh, okay then. Okay then. Where did they get their info, I'm guessing?
That's kind of what I asked them. And of course, then when you scroll through their Facebook feed, you find out that they are all Democrats.
Oh, that's shocking. Shocking.
I made the comment jokingly. I says Stockholm syndrome is real amongst you people.
Yeah.
And yeah, they a lot of them didn't get what.
But George, this is exactly what I referenced in the beginning of this segment. Tribalism has replaced results. Tribalism has replaced critical thinking. And by the way, on both the left and the right, there are factions on both the left and the right where it's more important that my team is right than finding out what the actual correct answers or what policies might work correctly are. And it's revolting to me. I hate everything about that. I appreciate the phone call. Can you email me that article?
I'll see if I can find it.
Okay. See what you can do. I'd appreciate it. Thanks, man. See, this is a huge problem. Mandy, it's unlikely that a Republican of any stripe will win statewide office in Colorado again. The Californians that have taken over the major population centers. And personally, I don't want to vote for Democrat-light Republican. See, and that's the big issue. Because if our rock-rib conservative Republicans stay home, if you think it can't be worse than Republican-light, you've lost your damn mind. Look at what the legislature did in the last session. Look at all the new fees that are taxes disguised as fees so we don't have to worry about coming up against Tabor. If you want to take your marbles and go home, you may as well move to a different state, Greg. No offense. But that attitude is exactly the problem. At some point, we're going to have to go, you know what? We're going to have to take what we can get. We're going to have to get people elected to have any real shot of righting the ship of this state. And if you have that attitude, you're never going to get anyone who might agree with you on anything elected. So there you go. That's just irritated. Irritating. When we get back, we are going to talk to Danielle. Wait a minute. Let me make sure I get her last name. Jarinski. Daniel Jarinski is running for the Aurora City Council. And if there's ever been a city council that needs a dash of common sense, this is it. Right now, though, Susan Witkin's going to tell us what's coming up in the news. What do you have for me, Susan?
The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
Welcome back. We are going to go right to the phones because I've got at-large candidate for Aurora City Council, Danielle Jarinski, on the line. Danielle, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mandy.
Boy, howdy, does the Aurora City Council need some good common sense. Where are you on the common sense scale, Danielle?
You know, if the common sense scale is 1 to 10, Mandy, I'm 100.
I like your confidence. Well, first of all, Danielle, tell my audience a little bit about yourself. Give your background, and then we'll get into why you are running for the Aurora City Council.
Sure. I am an Aurora native. I am a 9-year Air Force veteran. I am a single mom, and I own 4 bars and restaurants throughout the Denver metro area, as well as have a real estate business.
So you're a real slacker is what I'm hearing, Danielle. You barely get out of bed first thing in the morning. Yeah. So why do you want to add something to your plate? It sounds like you're incredibly busy.
If I don't, Mandy, if I don't, I'm going to have a lot of free time. Aurora is in dire straits right now, and this is my fight. This is my hometown. And if we're going to step up and save Aurora, if Aurora's going to get turned around, that begins with Danielle Jarinski getting on city council.
Well, Danielle, what are some of the things, the biggest issues that you would like to see handled differently in Aurora?
Well, first and foremost, I'd love to see some more support for our police officers, for our law enforcement.
Amen.
I mean, it's very sad. We are, this year, I just read a report yesterday, and as of the first of this year, we have lost 92 police officers.
Holy crap. Officers. Now, the force is what, 850? They're authorized for 850, I think. I have these numbers somewhere, but I think that's pretty close.
We're authorized 744, and right now we are down roughly 150 total, 92 of which have just left this year. And Mandy, that is experienced officers leaving, highly trained officers leaving. You know, this is no laughing matter. And what's become of this defund the police notion? Well, that wasn't polling well with voters, so they threw that right out the window. And now it's just demoralize the police until they leave.
Danielle, here's the thing, and I talked about it earlier or maybe late last week, I don't remember. If I lived in Aurora, I would be getting a carry concealed permit. I would carry all the time. I would definitely be able to protect my home and my family, because we may get to the point where you can call 911, but there won't be anyone available to come help you. Is it already happening?
Oh, it's absolutely already happening. It's 100% already happening. You get on Nextdoor, any of the Aurora groups on Nextdoor. You know, I called the police. They never came. You know, carjackings and robberies and stuff like that. They're prioritizing calls. So basically, if you're being murdered and you're able to get to a phone while you're being murdered, they'll come. They'll come, but they're having to prioritize those calls. And it's interesting you talk about getting a concealed carry permit. And what I want to say and what I want to make your listeners aware of is that Jared Polis signed into law Senate Bill 21-256 just a few months back. And basically this law states that Jared Polis, with his, you know, normal hands-off approach, I'm not the bad guy, they are, look over that way. Basically, what this says is he's turned gun rights over to local city councils to make laws about your gun rights. So every city council now has the power up to banning, if you read this Senate bill, up to banning the sale, purchase, and carry of a firearm. And the way the Aurora City Council sits right now, that will happen.
Let me ask you this, because you are on the Citizens Budget Advisory Committee now. Why did you decide to go there and volunteer for that position? And what have you learned?
I was asked to by Councilmember Francois Bergen. She's a Ward 6 council member out here in Aurora. And you have to be appointed. You can't just join that specific committee.
Mm-hmm.
So she asked me to, you know, with my background of managing budgets and payrolls and, you know, several different things for my companies, she appointed me. And I've learned a lot. Several different things. There's some programs I want to look into. There's all these programs, right, that claim to help the homeless in Aurora. We send a lot of money to help the homeless in Aurora. I want to know which one of those programs are working. Which ones are working and which ones are we just throwing money at? One other thing I've really realized is that the homeless problem, this is a $1 billion industry, and people need to understand that. There are people committed to not solving the homeless problem because it is a billion-dollar industry, and I want that to really resonate with some people.
Well, anytime something becomes an industry, and you're right, the homeless industry has become an industry, why in the world would they solve the problem that would put their industry out of business? That's exactly. The cold, hard reality. And it's not that these industries are not inhabited by good-hearted people with good intentions. It's that what they've been doing obviously isn't working in my mind, or we wouldn't be where we are right now. That's, you and I are on the same page about that. That is a big frustration for me because I feel like the policies that we're pursuing now are just slapping a Band-Aid over the gaping wound and not addressing the underlying issues. So how, if you get on the Aurora City Council, how would you like to see that change? What if any programs would you embrace, or what would you like to see people do?
You know, there's a couple that I know of that I've read about, I've researched, that I know do work. One is the Comitis Crisis Center in Aurora. Great program for the homeless. So I want to go through, and any programs that have taxpayer dollars going to them, I want to comb through them. Do they have results that they can show? I want to know which ones are working and which ones aren't. And the ones that aren't, we need to stop throwing money at them. We need
Agreed.
To stop throwing money at them. We need to, you know, button down, focus on the ones that are working, and go with those. And we have got to get this camping ban passed. We need this camping ban in Aurora. And, you know, Mayor Kaufman has proposed it a couple of times now. He hasn't been able to get it passed. And I'm hoping that with this election in November, I'm hoping that we're able to get it passed.
So let's talk about economic issues in Aurora. You know, Aurora is a booming community, but not in all areas. Aurora is a very interesting city in that it's, you know, there's really successful streets like right next to streets that are not as successful. I'm trying to couch my words in a way to not be insulting, but it doesn't seem like the economic prosperity is spread evenly. How would you encourage or work towards developing areas in Aurora that maybe have not had the same economic activity or economic boon?
Well, I think that some of that has already started. I mean, you look at Ward 1, which is economically the poorest ward in Aurora. But they're really turning around. They've brought in the Stanley Marketplace. All of the homes that have been built in that area around the Stanley Marketplace. I mean, there is some facelifts. There are some facelifts going on, but if you talk to some of these developers, you know, they're having a hard time. They're having a hard time with, you know, some city staff and getting permits and really getting the process going. So we definitely need to become a little more development friendly, but I think for me, it's all encompassing. Aurora needs to become more business friendly. And for me, running at large, one thing I want to point out, you know, I don't come from a silver spoon. That's not my background. You know, my background is very humble. And, you know, I grew up in a condo with my father. I was raised by a single father. And, you know, I think that also helps me to understand all of the different parts of Aurora and some different struggles and some different things, you know, that people go through. And, you know, I love Aurora. I love Aurora for that very fact. It is the number one most diverse city in the state. And there's a lot that I want to preserve about Aurora, but there is a lot, too, where it's time to charge forward and build this city up.
I agree. We were talking about this yesterday based on Attorney General Phil Weiser's report that came out, and I find it, and I have an article today on the blog about that, where the numbers for the instances where use of force was used on people of color is actually higher in Denver, and yet we have a full report.
And Boulder.
Mm-hmm. So we have a full report that essentially accuses the Aurora Police Department of being a racist organization. And I got super mad because I think the chief just laid down and didn't say anything that was encouraging or helpful for her team. And we're talking about how diverse Aurora is. Now, Danielle, you have a great background, but here you are. You're a cute white chick with blonde hair. How do you talk to people in Aurora that may be people of color that are maybe not feeling like they're as much a part of the community or they're not feeling like the fabric. How do you reach out to minorities who may be feeling that you're too cop positive, that you're too pro-police? How do you bridge that gap?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, you know, I can point out some instances of, you know, look, I believe that every once in a while there are bad cops. I'm not here to say that every single cop, you know, is a great cop. I realize there are some bad cops, and I want people to understand that what the good cops want more than anything is for those bad cops to be dealt with and to be taken off the force, because it hurts them and their right. image, and, you know, all of this stuff. People think that one bad cop reflects all 744 officers in Aurora, and it doesn't. You know, also, too, I went to Overland High School, which is one of the most diverse high schools in Aurora. So, you know, and a lot of those people that I went to high school with are still in Aurora. So when we talk about, you know, blacks or Hispanics, I mean, we're all friends, and that's how we grew up, you know, and I refuse to let this division just tear us apart and eat us alive now. And I think that's also, too, why I'm standing up. I've talked to my staff, you know, I employ different races, and I've talked to my staff. They all know where I stand. They all know where I, you know, how I feel. And I have a lot of support. I have a lot of support. They all know that when it comes to a bad cop, there's no one that wants to come down harder on a bad cop than I do. No one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to stand for the good cops.
Right.
That's what I want.
I love that. It would have been super nice if the chief of police had said that, but she didn't. Someone on our text line said, can she explain what she means by the homeless problem being a billion-dollar industry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, there are mill levies that come into the counties. One of the biggest letdowns I feel like for Aurora is Arapahoe County and Adams County not doing their share to help out with the homeless. You know, this isn't solely on each individual city. The counties have a responsibility as well. There are mill levy payments that come in. There are grants that come in. There is so much money that comes in to cities, to counties, based on how many homeless they have. So, you know, they want to keep getting the money. They better make sure, you know, that there's, you know, enough homeless people to justify this money. They want to keep getting the money. There's all kinds of money, tax dollars, mill levies, grants, all kinds of money that pours into cities, counties, and states for the, quote, homeless problem. And so there are some people that want to ensure that problem stays a problem because they want to keep getting that money.
Agreed. One more question, and that's specifically Mayor Mike Kaufman's, and I have to call it a stunt because that's kind of what it was, even though I think he did it for all the right reasons, where he went and lived on the streets as a homeless person. I think is one of the most illuminating things that I have seen and heard in a very long time. Have you had a chance to talk to Mayor Mike Kaufman about that and his take on what's going on right now at all?
I have listened to him, you know, and what he went through. And he talked about, you know, the encampments and the shelters, which he stayed in both. He stayed in a shelter and an encampment. I have listened to him, and you know, his conclusion is that a lot of those people, you know, are choosing to be there. And, you know, one thing I've found out in talking to some homeless myself, I say, gosh, you know, why are you guys all coming to Aurora? And, you know, I was told point blank by a group of homeless, well, it's so friendly here for homeless people. There's so many programs. We are literally attracting them. And that's sort of what Mayor Kaufman, I believe, feels as well is, you know, that several of them are making the choice to be homeless. And now the ones that aren't and the ones, you know, the single mom that's down on her luck living in her car, you know, stories like that, they're going to utilize the program and be a success story. And they're going to get out, you know, they're going to get back on their feet. But, you know, Mayor Kaufman talked a lot about the drug use that he saw.
Right.
You know, and some things like that. And it just runs rampant. It runs rampant. You know, I own bars and restaurants, and there's homeless camps that pop up, you know, every now and again near one of my locations. And I see it. They come in, you go into my restroom, they'll take like a full bath in one of my sinks. They'll, you know, paper towel everywhere, and they'll leave. I have found needles, you know, different things like that. And could you imagine, you know, if the state, if liquor enforcement or something like that walked in on me and found needles? I mean, they would shut my business down.
Exactly. Danielle Jarinski is running for Aurora City Council. I have to take the news here, Danielle, but give in 30 seconds why people should vote for you for Aurora City Council at-large seat.
I want to see Aurora become the safest, most business-friendly big city in the state, if not the country. This is my hometown. I'm ready to stand up for every person, regardless of background, in Aurora, and I'm ready to turn things around and charge towards the future. My name is Danielle Jarinski. You can find me at danielleforaurora.com. I would love to earn your vote. And Mandy, thank you so much for having me on today. Ballots will be out in 3 weeks.
All right, Danielle, good luck to you. We'll talk after the election, hopefully, about your big victory.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Let's check in with Susan Witkin, find out what's happening in her news. We are back. I've been wanting to ask this question of the audience all week long. So if you've been anywhere in Colorado, you know that there are help wanted signs everywhere, everywhere. One of my favorite restaurants only has 4 tables in the dining room open because they don't have front of house staff or anyone in the kitchen that can handle more than 4 tables at a time. And it really got me to thinking. I have friends that were laid off last year who are still out of work, honestly, through no fault of their own. They're applying and applying and applying, but they're over 55 and they cannot get a call. If they get a call, people find out how old they are and never call them back. And on the flip side of that, I hear from employers that they get applications, they schedule interviews, and then the people never show up for the interview. Because in order to keep your unemployment, you have to prove that you've been looking for a job, but you don't actually have to show up for the interview, apparently, because they don't check that, right? So I just thought I would ask this general question, specifically of 2 groups of people. Number one, if you lost your job or left your job at the beginning of the pandemic, did you return back to that job or have you gone on to get a different job? If not, why not and how? And I'm not judging. I just want to know, have people decided that they can live off one income in a two-parent household? Have you decided to retire? I think a lot of people got to a certain point and said, you know what? I'm looking at my finances. I think I can pull this off. But where are the people? Where are the people who should be normally working these jobs that until the pandemic, we might have had a tight labor market, but now it's just a nightmare?
Do you think some of these people who had 2 member, husband and wife, both working now have one because of the pandemic, they're homeschooling their kid now?
I know 4 couples that are like that. And one of them said, you know, we're one of us is just going to stay home. Yeah, Kuv.
I actually went through this about 4 or 5 years ago. And I think the whole thing is a little bit of a sham because obviously they only ask you to do 5 a week
for unemployment
right. For as far as jobs go. And I was applying for jobs just to get the 5 on nothing I was interested in, but I had to get my 5 in. But I was never going to accept any of those most likely because I was looking for a certain kind of job, not necessarily in radio or in communications or whatever, but there was just certain things that I wanted. And most of the time, just to get my 5 in, as I said, I would just apply for whether it be at King Soopers, not knowing that I was ever going to go there. But that was something that I had to do.
I get it. I understand that. But now the extended unemployment benefits have run out. People have got to be running near the end if they've been out of work for over a year. They got to be running to the end of their own unemployment if they haven't already. How are they swinging this? 303-713-8585. And again, I'm not sitting here in judgment. This is genuine curiosity. So there's no wrong answers here. You have to make the best decisions for your own life.
The other thing was back when I did do that, I think my maximum was like $538 every week.
Right.
So it was about $2,000, which isn't a lot, let's be honest. But you can get by on that if you, depending on what kind of house you live in. and whatever your wife's doing as well, or your significant other, or if you're single, obviously you can make that work.
Yeah. A totally unrelated text that just came in on the Centura Health text line, 56690. Mandy, I am a Bureau of Land Management. Secretary of the Interior announced that BLM will move very top leadership back to Washington, D.C. Grand Junction will be the Western headquarters. More details will be coming in coming weeks and during the ongoing meeting that just began. But if you want to know what an abject failure John Hickenlooper and Michael Bennett are as U.S. senators, you need to look no further than the now empty Western headquarters of the Bureau of Land Management. Talk about a couple of losers. Their party's in charge, and they couldn't even keep the damn headquarters here. Cory Gardner got the headquarters here in the first place, but you know what? Cory Gardner's a Republican, so he had to go. Oh, I'm so irritated now. That's not what I want to talk about. Golly. That is... No, you cannot talk, Mike. Mike is here. He's not talking yet, Mike. Stop, because I'm doing this topic I've been trying to do all week. Daryl, you were on KOA. What's on your mind?
I wanted to comment about Dick Wadhams's, I didn't read his editorial, but I heard his comments on another, on one of your sister stations.
And for Daryl, that people that weren't, for people that weren't listening, Dick Wadhams is also advising the GOP not to exit the primary system. Go ahead.
Yeah, I understand that, but I've heard you say more than once on your show that unaffiliated, at least twice in the state of Colorado, I don't know about nationwide, tend to vote Democrat 9 out of 10 times. And I'm of the firm belief, because I'm a lifelong Republican, I'm 68 years old, live in Colorado since 56, since 1956, that our current system where unaffiliateds can just say, well, I want to cast a ballot in the Republican primary, they're not voting for the people they cast the ballot for. They're scheming like the Democrats always do to pick our candidates for us.
Well, Daryl, you and I are in complete opposition on that. They really are. This is the system we have. Work within the system we have. If you want to change it legislatively. Go back to the closed primary system. I'm not opposed to that. But right now, that's not what we have in Colorado. And to ignore all of the unaffiliated voters and take your marbles and go back to a caucus where you're going to nominate some incredibly, incredibly, incredibly conservative person who has 0% chance of getting elected in the state, you're going to relegate the Republican Party to the dust heap of history. Mike wants to weigh in, and I'm not letting him. Don't turn his mic on. Don't do it, Coover. Hey, Ed, you were on KOA. Let's talk unemployment.
Hey, Mandy, Weirdo Ed here. I was in the telco industry for about 22 years. And immediately, just a couple weeks after the pandemic hit, we had a huge reduction in force, of which I unfortunately was part of. So I have been searching for gainful employment since that time.
Oh.
I applied for hundreds of positions over the last year and a half, and got called in for several interviews. And unfortunately, always came up towards near the end of the hiring process, and then was not issued a position, and I can only assume that either I don't interview nearly as well as I think I do, or because I came from a position where I was making close to six figures and I'm over 50, that they're looking for someone who's 25 and younger and has less smile lines than I do. I don't know.
Let me ask you a question, Ed. This is going to sound weird. Do you have gray hair?
I have no hair.
Oh, you have no hair. That's a good look. I like that look.
No, I shaved my head in honor of my wife. In her cancer fight, she was the one who got the firefighter's breast cancer covered.
Oh, wow.
That I talked about a couple times.
Well, Ed, so, yeah. I you're telling me a story that I've heard over and over again from my friends who are over 55. And employers, if you really want people to come and work in your company that are going to do an incredible job, show up every day, not whine and bitch and tell you that their pronouns, hire somebody over 50. Like, honestly, what do you want in your workforce? Ed, I feel for you, my friend. I appreciate you sharing your story. I wish it was rare, but it's not. Jeff, you were on KOA. What's on your mind?
Well, Mandy, I want to run a scenario by you. All right?
Okay.
I live in an apartment, okay? And when the rent evictions all ended and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, I got a phone call from the people that I rent from, and I was accused of smoking in my apartment. We have a no smoking policy
sure.
in there. Now, I've been there 5 years. Well, just soon right after the eviction mandate ended, I got this phone call. I was threatened with legal matters, right? Well, guess what? I never got a phone call as a follow-up from that accusation. And I'm going to tell you, Mandy, I think that a lot of landlords are losing their tenants, and they are moving into the streets. And I just got off the phone a little while ago with somebody that's saying that there are a lot of people that are living on campgrounds now.
So wait a minute, Jeff. But you're not unemployed, right?
No, I'm not unemployed.
Okay. So I was kind of talking about something different right now, but that's okay. Story sucks also. So are they kicking you out or not? I'm confused.
Well, like I said, I got a threatening phone call right after the mandate ended, and I was accused of smoking. I was threatened with legal paperwork, and the people never even called me back to follow up to see if the accusation was true.
Is the accusation true? There is
a possibility of people are going to be losing their homes because landlords are losing money from throwing them out, and now they're going after the people that are working. And they're accusing them, and the possibility is there that they're going to throw people. Because I just signed I just redid my lease.
Were you smoking, Jeff? Were you smoking?
No, I've been in that place. No.
Okay.
I've been in my place for 5 years, and I have never smoked in my apartment.
Well, Jeff, I'm not sure what to tell you about that. That is something that you have to, I wouldn't even know where to start with that. That doesn't make any sense, though. Why would every landlord that I know is desperate to keep their tenants so they don't have, especially good tenants who pay their bills? That doesn't make any sense to me. I feel like there's more to that story that I'm missing on that one. No one wants to weigh in on this. Wow. I'm surprised by this because I got to tell you, people are talking about this all the time. I just got this text on the Centauri Health text line. Mandy, please tell people the post office is desperate for carriers pretty much everywhere. Go to USPS.com, scroll to the bottom, and click careers. It's a great job. 55-year-old male here, ex-medical sales, and I have great phone interviews for professional positions, then no response. I'm fit, so I've applied for outdoor maintenance positions like golf course and nothing. I've been told overqualified many times. They want someone who won't continue to look for better positions. Hiring is expensive. All of that is true and accurate. Mike is still chomping at the bit here. Oh, should I say chomping or champing at the bit, Mike?
You read my column.
I have it on the blog today. Mike did his best Charles Harrington Elster. Mike Rosen joining us, by the way. He did his best Charles Harrington Elster today in his column and corrected some misstatements.
Misconceptions, that's right, including chomping at the bit.
Yes.
Champing is a verb. Mm-hmm. The best example of which is, think about a horse with a bit in its mouth who wants to get into the race. Mm-hmm. He's champing at the bit. That's the bite down vigorously on something. So chomping on the bit is incorrect. But if you say it correctly, champing on the bit, people look at you as if you're stupid because most people don't know that. I completely.
Well, you know, Mike, it's a doggy dog world out there.
Yes, it is.
That's my favorite one that I hear all the time. No, it's a doggy dog world.
That's not a cliche. I hear it all the time.
Yes, exactly.
So I completely agree with you on the primary, and I was opposed in principle to letting people who aren't Republicans vote in our primary, but you're right. The rules have changed, and if we don't allow unaffiliated voters, by the way, most of whom lean left, not all of them, but most of them lean left. If we don't allow the ones that don't lean left to vote in a Republican primary, many of them are going to vote in a Democrat primary and be invested in the candidate that they voted for in the primary and repeat that practice in the general election.
And there you have it, Mike. That's it right there.
Yeah, your caller was right, though. There are some Democrats, some left-wingers that are going to try to sabotage the nominating process. That's a given. But I think the number of people who will be possible Republican voters who will be turned off because we don't let them vote in our primary outnumber those other ones.
100%.
Regarding your point about why aren't people working, a couple of things. Number one, the vast majority of the jobs that are going unfilled are lower paying jobs, especially in the service sector.
Right.
For lower paid workers, when you can get $600 a month for unemployment insurance, and that was just cut in half, but it's still $300, and not have to pay payroll taxes or income taxes, probably payroll taxes, because lower income people don't pay income tax, federal income taxes. What you get paid in a lower income job is still subject to that payroll tax, yeah, which is pretty hefty. And the Democrats have also lowered the qualifications for food stamps. So you've got another subsidy you can take advantage with. And if you've got low income, you can get a phenomenally cheap insurance, health insurance program that's subsidized through Obamacare. So there are so many incentives not to go back to work. A lot of people are saying, you know, I'm going to wait until these bennies run out, especially the unemployment insurance. And by the in the last quarter of this year, I think you'll see a lot of people flocking back to the labor force.
Let me grab one more call before we take a break. Chris, you got about a minute. Go right ahead. Chris?
Hi, Manny. Thanks for being on the show. I'm in design and interior design, and I got laid off right when the pandemic happened. And I was laid off for about two and a half months. But then I actually got an even better job. I work for a government contractor now, and we do design for new VA hospitals, and I get to travel all over. I work from home. So it's been actually really good. And, you know, I have friends that are in the same boat. They're like, oh, I can't find jobs. Like, I've been not just here in Colorado, but there are help wanted signs all over the country.
Oh, yeah.
I find it really kind of hard that people can't.
Well, you know what? I got to tell you, I was skeptical as well, but now I've had really lengthy conversations with people I care about and know really well. And they have told me the lengths that they have gone to try and find work over the last year, only to be told at the last minute that they're not right or they're whatever. And I got to tell you, I think a lot of it is ageism, because all of these people I'm talking about are over 55. If you're over 55 and you are trying to find a job, it is tough. I appreciate, hey, congrats, Chris, on your upgrade. And I hope a lot of people upgraded their career and didn't go back to that lowing paying job. I hope that's what happened. Susan Witkin she's upgrading the news right now as we speak. So
The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Rated MR for Mike Rosen.
Now, the reviews are in. It's Mike Rosen at the movies on KOA News Radio,
whatever.
850 AM and 94.1 FM.
Dang it. Anyway, Mike Rosen here as I step all over your intro. Mike, sorry about that.
Now you have to ask me exactly the way I'm asking you to ask me.
Okay.
Ask me, what's the secret about telling a joke well?
Hey, Mike, what's the
timing
secret?
Okay. Just to get us rolling here this morning, I had a great idea for a practical joke for a plastic surgeon, all right? Put a squeaky toy in every breast implant.
Stop. Wouldn't that be funny? That is not.
Wouldn't that be funny?
That, well, okay, let's be real.
You go, honey, how do you like my new breast?
No. Mike, okay, I am sitting here with four men right now, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to watch all of you, because you all do it. When you grab your girl's breast, you all go honk, honk anyway. Yes. Doesn't matter. You don't need a squeaky toy. Just saying. Every guy does it.
I saw a billboard for the Hokey Pokey Clinic, a place to turn yourself around. All right. Can I do a little promotion for something I'm involved with?
Sure.
Okay. The first million people to send me $1 will get a copy of my guide on how to become a millionaire using Facebook. You got to be enterprising to do that.
Oh, Mike.
Okay, that's my opening monologue.
Okay, there you go. Dave and I saw Shang-Chi, The Legend of the Ten Rings, this week, and then you want to talk about Ted Lasso as well.
Lasso, yeah.
I have not seen Ted Lasso yet because I don't have Apple TV, so I have to wait till it comes to some other platform.
You definitely want to see it. Everybody wants to see this.
Yeah, everybody does.
Rave reviews.
I might have to just pony up for the free preview of Apple and do it that way. I just don't want to pay for any more.
Well, you can get the 7-day free preview, and then there's two seasons, I think, 10 episodes each.
I think 10 in each.
But they're 30-minute episodes.
Yeah, okay, so you can just rip through them.
Yep.
Now, don't give up after the first or second episode.
I made it all the way through the first season of Bosch, Mike, right. and that was... I had to really stick with that based on your recommendation, because I got to tell you, I realized something about myself. I am that person who needs the last week on Bosch. Like, I need that because that show is a season-long case. And he's like, well, let's go back and talk to blah-bitty blah. And I'm like, I don't remember blah-bitty blah. Who is that? So I can stick through with the first episode of Ted Lasso, I'm sure.
Dave encouraged me to watch Ted Lasso. Before I watched it, I just read kind of a summary of it. And I don't know. And I watched the first episode, and I said to Dave, you know, this guy's kind of dumb. I don't think I'm going to like this show. After the second episode, I was hooked.
Yeah. What makes it so charming?
Well, just to give you a tease, this is what some of the reviewers are saying. And you know how cynical reviewers can be. This is professional reviewers. Listen to this. Lasso's good-naturedness chipped away at our resistance until we finally gave in and just let it make us happy. Watching an episode was like rolling around on the floor with a good dog. The true genius of Ted Lasso is that you really don't need to like football or soccer to love the show. Each episode is 30-ish minutes of pure, unadulterated bliss. A comedy series about sports as an arena for goodness, kindness, and hope. The show is warm, laugh-out-loud funny, beautifully constructed and written, and has a massive amount of heart in every frame. Hugely recommended. And they're all saying this.
Let me ask you a question, because yeah. I will tell you the best series that I am watching are not on network television. I still watch NCIS, even though it's terrible at this point, because I've been watching it since the beginning, and by God, I'm going to watch it till they take the damn thing off. But most of the shows that I'm watching are on streaming services. So why do you think that the people who made Ted Lasso even shopped that to ABC, CBS, or NBC? Or
if,
is it...
If they had, it would have been dismissed instantly.
Yeah.
And it's not only targeting young demos, which so many of the shows
right.
are right now. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we actually explain what the show is? And since you clued me into it, go ahead, Dave. You give a little summary.
Yeah, Ted Lasso, yeah. the character, is a successful second-level coach who won a national championship in football.
College football.
And for some reason, unknown, he is recruited by a soccer team in Great Britain to be their coach.
Of course.
And he accepts.
He knows nothing about soccer.
No, he doesn't know the rules. He knows absolutely zero.
So do you ever find out why he
yes.
was... Okay, you do. Okay.
Midway through the first season, you'll find out why.
And the character is the key to the entire series. As Mike said, at first you think, this is a dummy, you know, he's a hick. But everybody in the series at some point or another underestimates mm-hmm. Ted Lasso because he's really, in his own way, brilliant. But and he loves everybody, even if there's this group of fans that can't stand him from the day he comes to Great Britain because he knows nothing about soccer and they're soccer nuts.
They call him a wanker.
They call him wanker. They see him in the street and they say wanker. And he says, hi, how you doing? And
he's just obliviously good.
Exactly.
Okay, I love those characters.
But he wins everyone over. And also, his expertise and his abilities, you also underestimate those, especially in one wonderful episode where the former owner of the team, who's been divorced from the current owner of the team, they meet in a bar, and he puts out this challenge, and it'll be darts that will decide it. Of course, darts is a big thing in Great Britain.
Yeah.
And here's this little football coach, you know, and so he makes a bet with them on darts. Of course, what he didn't tell him is between the ages of 10 and 16, that's all he did was play darts.
Ah.
And with both hands, he hits bullseyes all over the place. And it's just every episode, he demonstrates, I'm a lot smarter than you think I am.
He disarms people with his approach. And it's not that he's intentionally manipulative.
No.
Although, in a way, he is because he knows how to get through to people. The current owner is played by Hannah Whittingham,
mm-hmm.
who is a very tall, a statuesque blonde. Not the most beautiful woman in the world, attractive, but just very, 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 very sexy. So she's now divorced, and her former husband, who is the biggest a-hole in the world, she got the football, the soccer team, in the divorce.
Oh, okay.
So this is a little bit of a spoiler, but you'll get to it anyway.
Yeah.
Just for spite,
Yeah.
She wants to drive
wants
the team
into
the ground.
She wants the team to tank.
Tank the team.
Okay, that's a very funny premise.
Yeah.
Okay.
From the very beginning, she can't stand Ted Lasso's persona. I mean, he brings her every morning
biscuits. These little biscuits, little pink box of biscuits,
because right.
that's what he does.
Yeah.
And she tries them, and she loves these things.
And he bakes them himself.
Oh, of course.
Every day he brings her these biscuits. And here's an insider thing about the biscuit thing. The actress that plays Rebecca, the owner of the soccer team, was interviewed, and she said, "Those are the worst biscuits I have ever had, and you want to see acting when I say I love them. That's great acting, because these are horrific."
Yeah, and you're rooting for the two of them to connect.
Yes.
Because he's estranged from his wife and in the process of getting divorced, which is why he was interested in leaving the United States and football, because
right.
this just put him in a different environment. So you're wanting them to connect, and this is kind of an evolving.
And his relationships with the team members, he just brings everyone up. And this team that's, you know, pretty bad, under his tutelage, they start to come together. And he has a lot of challenges because everyone thinks he's an idiot and incompetent. But he wins everyone over, and he wins the audience over first, though.
And soccer is just a prop. However, even though you're not a big soccer fan, you're going to become a kind of a soccer fan, just the way that they handle it. It doesn't dominate every single show, every
right.
single episode. The various players on the team are at each other's throats at a certain point, and somehow he's magically bringing them all together. It seemed impossible.
There's no politics in this. It's about nice people and evil people, and there's no, and the reason that Mike said ABC, NBC, CBS wouldn't like it is because it's just about real people. They don't go out of their way to try to convince you of something political.
Right, right. Now, they're just telling a story.
Just telling a story, and you love the characters, and you finish the series, and you say, "I feel really good." Which is so rare in today's television.
See, that's how I feel after watching a marathon of Hoarders, because I think, my house doesn't look like that. I feel really good about myself. So, you know, you're telling me that maybe there's an option other than watching people.
And incidentally, this last year won just about every Emmy award. He won, all the cast members won. They just kind of swept the Emmys. I had not heard it because I didn't see the Emmys.
Yeah.
But I saw this show, and I can see why.
Yeah.
He grew up in Kansas. Which kind of gives him something of an insight into the character he's playing, a Midwestern kind of guy. But he was a writer for Saturday Night Live. He's done some movies, and you've probably seen him. He's even had some starring roles, but you don't know his name. He got his props in Second City in Chicago. He's a brilliant comedian with a wonderful delivery. You might remember the movie with Jennifer Aniston called We're the Millers.
Mm-hmm.
He was the Miller married to Jennifer Aniston. He was in Horrible Bosses back in 2011.
He's very much an everyman. You could kind of imagine him. I'd like to see him honestly try to play a psychopath that is the nice guy psychopath that actually ends up being a horrible, horrible person. I think he could pull that off very, very well.
He could do that. So on a scale of 1 to 5, I'm giving it 5 wankers. By the way, what's the definition of a wanker?
Wanker's a jerk. It's not a nice person. Dave, you were talking about darts in the UK. I have a fun story about darts in the UK. When I was a flight attendant, we were in Brighton, which is kind of a rough and tumble port town right outside London. And I was in a pub, and these rowdy gentlemen were like, "Hey, we can teach you ladies how to play darts." And I was like, "Okay, well, I've played darts before. I have never played darts as well as I played darts that night." And I beat them with my partner, and it started a bar fight.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, because then the other guys that were at the table were like, "Oh, you wankers lost to a girl." It was like that kind of stuff. And it was quite dramatic. And I've never played darts that well again, ever in my life.
It was like I was on fire. 5 out of 5 darts for me.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that's Ted Lasso. And people want to know, the name of the show is Ted Lasso, as in lasso a rope. And it's on Apple TV. That's the only place it is. That's why I haven't seen it. I'm resisting paying for any more media entertainment stuff. I just don't want to pay for anything else. I'm tapped out. As little TV and stuff as I watch, I feel like I spend far too much money for what I actually use it for. Okay, now We are going to talk about Shang-Chi, and I'm going to let you do the setup on this, Dave, because I saw it last Sunday and you saw it yesterday. I don't want to forget anything because there's like bits and pieces that all come together later.
That's probably not wise because my memory is a lot worse than
great.
Yours.
Fantastic. Okay, well, then I'll set up the Shang-Chi thing. Shang-Chi is a Marvel movie, but it is probably the best Marvel movie as a standalone film. You don't have to know anything
and
about
I'm not
the Marvel
a Marvel
universe.
Guy.
Yeah, Dave knows nothing about the Marvel universe. I know a little bit about the Marvel universe, but you can watch this film as a movie, and it doesn't matter if you never see another Marvel movie.
I haven't played Marvel since I was
Marvel.
A kid.
Marvel.
Okay. And from what I understand, the character from the comics, the Marvel comics, is a very minor character, and really they've built him up for this movie, and I think they did a terrific job.
Well, let's be real. This movie is a big, spectacular box office movie, and there is an incredible amount of this movie that is spoken in Chinese. So that, to me, says this movie is directly a love story to the billion Chinese movie watchers in China, right? I mean, that's what this movie is. But it's also outstanding. It's just a great movie. It starts with a couple of friends, one played by Awkwafina, and I don't know who played the other guy. I don't have it in front of me. They are just platonic friends and kind of
they park cars.
They both have graduate degrees. They're both obviously very intelligent, yet they're skating through life. They're not taking life seriously. And throughout this conversation, you find out that the young man, his father is some big muckety-muck in China, but you don't necessarily find out more than that. But the father requires things happen, and it is required that they go back to China. Awkwafina's never been to China, even though she is born in the United States to Chinese parents. She's never been back to China. So they head to China, and that's where the real adventure begins. And you find out that his father is a 1,000 years old. He has
the 10 rings of power on his arms, 5 on each arm, and they give him pretty much absolute power.
Yeah.
And he's lived for 1,000 years, and he's ruled the world, although it wasn't in the newspapers.
Exactly.
But they tell you he's just ruled the world, I guess, from behind the scenes.
He's essentially the Illuminati of China. Hold it there, because we got to check in with Susan Witkin and find out what's coming up in her news. We'll finish this conversation next, but we are going to convince Mike that he has to see this movie. That's my goal. Susan Witkin, though, what do you have in your newsroom? We are back. Mike Rosen in the his house. That's what the kids say today now, Mike. I'm trying to hip up the show. Dave and I are talking about Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Somebody just pointed out China has blocked the release of this movie. And that has to be a stunning disappointment. So let's see. I'm trying to find the reason behind that, and I don't know. So continue the explanation here.
Okay, there's
a
character, the pal of Shang-Chi is a woman named Katie, who's played by an actress named Awkwafina,
that's a drink.
Who is actually, she reminds me so much of Kathy Lee in The Morning Show. She's this Asian woman with an incredible sense of humor, and she's always cracking jokes and making inappropriate remarks. And this is Kathy Lee has made it to Hollywood, I guess, is someone impersonating her named Awkwafina.
Yes.
But she's also entertaining in the movie. Ben Kingsley's in the movie as comic relief.
He reprises his role from Iron Man 2, where he played Trevor, the hapless actor, alcoholic actor, who was drafted to perform the role of a world-class terrorist. So,
and this is a movie, it has, like all Marvel films, it has a lot of action in it. The thing in this one, though, is the action, in most cases, supports the movie. There are reasons for action scenes. You know, climactic parts of the film have action scenes. The only action scene that really didn't have to be in there was the bus action scene at the beginning of the movie. And I saw that and I said, here we go again, meaningless action, 15 minutes, timeout. But the rest of the film was wonderful. And I give it 5 out of 5 protective amulets.
See, I disagree with you on the bus scene, and here's why.
Okay.
That was the first time you knew that Sean, the guy who had retaken Shang-Chi and renamed himself Sean,
right,
was actually a complete badass. Like, that was the first sign that he knew what he was doing. It also set up the bad guys as these creepy people that are chasing them,
who
trying
come back
to get the
in amulet. The movie later.
Yeah. So I don't think it was a nothing burger scene. A lot of exposition happened in that scene, and it was amazing karate.
All the action scenes are amazing. Yeah. I mean, I see these movies and I say they cannot top this. Well, they top it in this movie once again. It's pretty amazing. But there is plot, there's story, and there is character development, and it's all great. So I give it 5 out of 5.
I give it 5 out of 5, but I can't think. Oh, I know what I'm going to give it. I'm going to give it 5 out of 5 bending pieces of bamboo in reference to a really good action scene on the side of a building in China.
Oh, yes.
On the bamboo scaffolding. And if you've ever been to China, that's how they build their skyscrapers, with bamboo scaffolding. And they whip that stuff together in like 2 seconds. It's amazing. But I wouldn't get up on that stuff.
And if you see the movie, wait through the credits, because yeah, there are those little nest eggs or whatever.
Easter eggs.
Easter eggs at the end of the movie. So
we were going to talk about Stillwater, but we're not going to have time to do that now. So let me just tease this.
Okay.
Dave, you're really looking forward to this movie, I'm sure.
It's going
to be released
sometime
in October. This is the prequel to The Sopranos. It's called The Many Saints of Newark.
Cannot wait to see this.
It was filmed in New York and New Jersey. You'll recognize several beloved characters from the original series. A lot of the guys that always play mafia roles, you'll recognize them. Ray Liotta is in this one, and Michael Gandolfini. I'm guessing he's the son.
Yes, he is.
And
James Gandolfini, right?
There was a feature on CBS Sunday Morning, either this past Sunday or the Sunday before, about this, and they showed the guys that are playing, like, Steven Van Zandt's character, the guy. Mike, this guy nails it. I mean, and Michael Gandolfini looks enough
like
oh, my God. I'm more excited to see this movie than probably any movie in a really long time, because it looks like, and of course we don't know until we see the movie, it looks like from the trailer that they nailed it.
Well, probably it'll be better than the final episode of The Sopranos, which was terrible. One of the last worst final episodes in the history of series.
Correct.
So it's set in the 1960s during the Newark riots, with black and Italian communities at each other's throats, and there are gangsters on both sides, on the Italian side and the black side. And the dangerous rivalry, it says here in the production notes, becomes especially lethal. So this is the prequel to The Sopranos.
And I think next week we can also do Cry Macho, the new Clint Eastwood movie.
Oh, I think so, too, because that's on HBO. That's streaming on HBO Max. It's getting really good reviews. So maybe the critics are not as mad at they were at Clint Eastwood when the movie about the Atlanta bomber, that movie was outstanding.
The guy is 91 years old.
I know. You two slackers aren't even as old as him. You're not making great film after great film after great film.
I got 19 years to get that old.
Exactly.
And I haven't done anything.
Exactly. So Cry Macho is on HBO streaming. The Saints of Newark, that's only in theaters, isn't it?
It'll be out, I think, in 2 weeks, early October, something like that, the last time I...
It's hard to tell
because some movies are coming to theaters and no streaming. Some are coming both. Some are coming just to streaming, so you got to really pay attention.
I think it's going to be it might be on HBO because The Sopranos was on HBO, but I don't know.
By the way, I had a private screening of Shang-Chi last night.
Yep. Not a soul in the theater.
I was the only person in the Continental Regal big room. It was amazing. And they told me to silence my phone. and I rebelled and I called Mandy.
Yeah, he did, actually. He was sending me texts, and I'm like, turn your screen down. What movie did you just suggest, Coover, that shows that we do not understand each other at all?
Well, coming up on, I believe it's October 15th, Halloween Kills. The Halloween story continues.
Isn't that redundant? Hasn't Michael Myers done enough killing at this point? He's got to be like 85. He's living in a nursing home. So is this one where Michael Myers is living in the nursing home and he's just killing everybody else in the nursing home? And every time someone is about to get killed, they're like, you know what? Maybe we should open this scary door.
It's tougher for him because he has to chase these people with a walker.
And I want to know, is Jamie Lee Curtis, is she coming back? She's been in a couple of the ones here lately.
She hasn't been in anything lately.
So is Larry Walker's in this film?
No.
I thought he was chasing somebody with a walker.
No, Mike.
Is he set in Cooperstown at the
Hall
of Fame?
You guys are all haters.
Yeah. No, I hate gory movies. I don't even watch the autopsy scenes on NCIS because I just get like, bleh.
Did you ever watch that show on HBO way back in the day? I figure what it's called, Autopsy Something or Other?
No. There's a 0% chance I'm going to watch a show like that.
Where they would do autopsies and then try to figure out how people died, and then they would try to do celebrities that had died and try to figure that out.
No, there's a show on one of the kind of off-brand channels that I have on my cable network that's Autopsy, where they just have a doctor who goes over the autopsy records of famous people. It feels very exploitive. I don't like that.
I saw news that there's a new Dexter movie coming out. Remember the TV series Dexter?
I told you when I met the author of Dexter, right?
Mm-mm.
First of all, he's married to Ernest Hemingway's great niece. And dude likes to get his drink on, at least he did at the time. And I asked him, I said, how did you come up with the idea for Dexter? He said, I got called for jury duty. And I'm sitting in the jury box, and he hated the defense attorney so much. Like, he just could not stand this guy. He said, I started to drift off and thought, you know what would be really cool is if you could just have a guy who saw people that were awful and he just killed them. And so that's how the story was born. And here's another fun fact. He sold the rights for $250,000. He gets no kickbacks from the show at all.
Ouch.
That was a dumb ass deal he made. And he's like, I just assumed I'd write another bestseller, and it didn't really happen that way right away. So,
but
yeah.
There's a brand new movie that's going to come out pretty soon that it's same actor.
Yeah, I don't think the author gets that. That was a good learning lesson. I'm like, okay, great. If I ever write a best-selling novel, which remains to be seen, I need to have somebody negotiate that deal that isn't an idiot. Mike, are you available?
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
I'm
call Mike Rosen. Let them handle Mike Rosen. That'll be great. I'll be a gajillionaire.
As soon as
with
I
Mike.
Make my $1 million on my book.
Yes. I have a feeling that's coming right down the pike. Okay, you guys, next week, we have an extremely busy week, and we're about to get into political season, so you're going to hear a lot more candidates because, frankly, I'm tired of the crap-ass leadership we have in this state, and I'd like to make some changes.
When you talked about Bennett and Hickenlooper,
yeah,
about how they're not coming to bat for Colorado.
Losers.
It's not just the
BLM, Bureau of Land Management.
Trump decided to move
Space Force
Command out of Colorado Springs just because, was it Alabama or Arkansas?
It was Alabama.
Alabama because Colorado didn't vote for Trump, but Alabama did. This is still being debated, and the military doesn't want it moved there.
No.
So where's Hick and Bennett trying to keep it in Colorado Springs? Maybe they don't want to keep it there because Colorado Springs is Republican.
I have no idea. Those guys are worthless pieces of crap, but that's just me. Anyway, now it's time for the most exciting segment on the radio of its kind in the world of the day. Okay, now we're all in the same room here. So there should be no excuses, no whining, no complaint. Oh, Brandon's there, too. So we will have excuses and whining. Okay. Just kidding. No, I'm not.
I'm surprised BK didn't come in here. He was up here earlier.
I know.
Just because he's so competitive.
Yeah, you know, I feel like that little kid in the third grade who goes, ooh, ooh, call on me, and they never call on him. Remember, he stuck the hand out.
Yeah,
Mrs. Connell, Mrs. Connell, Mrs. Connell, Mrs. Connell, Mrs. Connell, Mrs. Connell.
That's Dragon, you hear. So we have Dragon, we have Mike, we have Coov, we have BK, we have me. What is our word of the day today, please, Dave?
This is one I can see a lot of guesses on.
Okay.
Word of the day is a noun. It is apiary.
I got it.
It's
not a place where they keep birds.
No,
yeah, right.
No, that's an aviary.
It's a place where they keep apes.
That's
where they keep
monkeys.
If an aviary is for birds, it's for apes.
Is that what your guess is?
Yeah.
That's my guess.
That's totally wrong.
That's aviary. Bring the music down just a hair, Coov. I think it has to do with an actuarial table.
And you would be wrong.
Dang it! What is it?
Anyone else? No?
No.
It's the birdhouse. No.
What is it? That's an aviary.
That's an aviary, but an apiary is a place where bees are kept.
I like this better.
Okay.
It's just a hive.
What kind of furniture is an actuarial table anyway?
Stop it. What is a name for repetitive sequences of DNA at the end of chromosomes that serve a protective function? I actually think I know this. I think it's telomeres.
Oh.
And I am correct.
Wow.
Telomeres, when your telomeres get really short, you're aging rapidly. You're aging too quickly. And you can re-lengthen your telomeres using, I'm telling you, it's very, very cool.
Your knowledge is scary.
Well, of course, big brain on Mandy.
Of course, you know, you looked up the word and you're going to throw it out there.
No, it's on the back. You have to flip it over.
Oh, it's a little game card.
No, this is, it's fascinating. I read a book about this, and that's when they focus on anti-aging medicine, they're looking at the telomeres to tell them if they're doing a good job or not. That's what they, that's how they check it. See? I'm smart. Anyway, go right ahead. What's our Jeopardy category?
Category for today, it's a country thing.
Okay.
Okay, I need to know what nationality precedes the items I'll give you in the clue. Okay, here we go.
Not country music. Okay.
No.
Here we go. Hat dance and jumping bean.
Mandy.
Oh.
Mandy.
What is... What, Mexican?
Correct. Now
Brandon.
You get the idea.
Oh. It's not what is Mexico?
Brandon.
It's not what is Mexico?
You're right, Brandon, but you're 10 minutes late. Okay.
No, what is Mexico or Mexican?
It's Mexican.
Mexican.
I said nationality, not country.
Mexican hat
dance. Nationality.
Got it.
Yep.
Okay, here
absolutely.
We go. Next
Mexican
one. Measles and potato salad. Mike.
What is German?
Wow. Ooh. That was that was actually a professional response from Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next one. Channel and
Mandy.
Mike. Brandon. Brandon.
That was me, bud. And what is English?
You are correct. Channel and saddle.
Uh-huh. Definitely me.
Mm-hmm.
Next one. Elephant and ocean.
Mike. Dragon.
Brandon.
Mike. I heard dragon.
Okay, really?
I heard Mike.
I heard dragon.
I think it was Mike.
Mike,
was
sorry, Mike. I'm just kidding.
I forgot what you threw out there. Elephant and ocean.
Yeah.
Right.
What is Pacific?
Mandy.
No, dragon.
Brandon.
No!
Mandy.
It goes to me because I was second from the fourth.
No, it's a rebit. No, dragon, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you.
Indian.
Dragon.
This never happens during Jeopardy.
The Pacific elephants?
Dragon's correct.
You never heard of Pacific elephants?
What was the answer he gave?
They float. Indian.
That's correct. What is Indian?
They float on their back and their trunks are up in the Pacific elephants.
Where do we stand on the score? Let's get organized.
Currently, it is 2 for Mandy, 1 for dragon, 0 for Mike.
No, I got one. I got German measles.
And then we took it away when you said what your stupid answer just then was.
Oh, I got a minus for it.
Yeah, you get a minus.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, finally, bacon and whiskey.
Mandy?
Mandy.
Ah.
What is Canadian?
You are the winner.
Yay. Had to think about that. I was like, Canada. You know,
I'll come in studio next Friday.
Okay, come in next Friday. Now, you know that the geese that are from Canada that crap all over, they're Canadian geese. They're not called, they're called Canada geese. They're not called Canadian. They're called Canada geese.
Yeah, and you notice, if you ever got up close to one, they wear that little maple leaf pin so they're not.
Stop it, Mike.
Not confused with Americans because they're,
All right, we'll be back. We're going to have a real estate conversation on Monday with my buddy Mike Potarf, kind of the state of the market. Keep it right here for Big Al and JoJo coming up next on KOA.